Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am so very excited that you tuned in on this wonderful, wonderful Monday evening, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again, but praise God, we are in it. And so I'm very grateful for those of you that are brand new and are listening for the very first time. So thank you, thank you, thank you for chiming in, whether you logged in or whether you dialed in, and thank the person that invited you, and praise God. If it was me, amen, you could thank me too, but nevertheless, I'm very happy that you decided to tune in. Our goal is to make sure that we always have an encouraging word, that we educate, and that we empower. And so it may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that we want you to be encouraged by. And then, like I said, because it's not brand new, it may be something that you've heard before, but we're hoping that we'll give you a new insight, something to give you to get further understanding so that it'll be a better understanding, so that not necessarily we educated you, but give you at least a nudge to look it up to get a little bit more information. And then once you make the decision to make those changes or curve or nip and tuck, whatever you need to do with the information that God has given, then we want you to be empowered to make those changes and then not keep it to yourself, but to share it with someone else. So we want you to be encouraged, we want you to be educated, and want you to be empowered to share. God bless. And so for those of you that have been with me, can you believe 10 years we've been in this thing? Whew, long time, 10 years. And it went kind of fast in some areas. And in some areas, it's like, wow, it's been 10 years. But for the most part, I am so grateful that God has blessed me to be in this thing, because it's been consistent. And I've been here most of the 10 years. I may have missed maybe 6 episodes that I've had to either do a rerun, or by some technical difficulty I didn't have the show. But for the most part, you multiply 52 times 10, praise God, and subtract about 10, we'll just say 10. But praise God, that is amazing that God has blessed me to be able to be live each of those. And many of you were here with me. So whether you've been with me for 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 months, 10 years, amen. I am grateful every time that you dial that number or log in. So thank you, thank you, thank you for chiming in. I would not be who I am in this vein if it wasn't for two people, Jesse and Tammy Storr. They have walked me through this path, and they have been with me from the beginning, from the inception. They continue to support me, and they continue to be the example. So I will always call them out by name. And praise God, I will call out their ministry, Omega Ministry Group, because without the prayers and the love and the care, without them, amen, I don't know that I would have stayed this consistent and intent to what God has called me to do. And it was because they pushed me, and they told me when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Amen. And so I will always be grateful for them. And I'm also continuing to pray for them. They lost their mother. And so, amen, ain't nothing like a mother's love. And so, praise God, I am praying for both of them and hoping and believing that God will keep them encouraged and let them only focus on the good times that they had with her. But nevertheless, praise God, they had a mother. Amen. You can't take that away. So praise God. I want to make sure that we get into the lesson. So we always start with an upbeat song. I thank those of you for tuning in and chiming in. And then we go to God in prayer before we start our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to wake up each morning. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to, some of us had that major storm last night, but we're safe and we're okay. We thank you, Father, for allowing your hedge of protection to always be around us, Father. We take so much for granted, that seen and unseen danger, Father. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to know you and to have a relationship with you. And we know none of that would have been possible if it hadn't been for the sacrifice of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you so much for the blood that was shed on our behalf, that you paid the cost for us to have a relationship with you, not just here, but for eternity. And so we say thank you. We thank you that you just didn't stop there, but you left a part of you with us we call the Holy Spirit that navigates and guides us and shakes our head to say no and moves us to move forward when you say yes. We thank you, Father, for all the attributes that the Spirit does for all of us, Father, for keeping us quiet and keeping us speaking and giving us the courage and the motivation to do what needs to be done. And then, Father, you gave us your word to know exactly what to say and how to say it. You gave us your word to navigate us and to help us to get through the mastery minds of the enemy, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you said you came to give us life. And so we thank you that you gave us a roadmap to get around those minds so we don't have to deal with the fiery darts that he throws. So, Father, we thank you for being the vine and allowing us to be your branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain. Because without you, we can absolutely do nothing. So I thank you, Father, for my special and wonderful guest friend carved out some time for us on tonight. We pray, Father, that you will honor his lips and mine, Father, that you will allow whatever it is that you have for both of us to say on tonight so that someone may have a revelation, someone may be delivered and set free. Not just tonight, but any time that they listen to the pre-recording, Father, whether it's 3 years from now, it will have the same rhema of word. Again, Father, bless both of us and bless those that are listening. We love you, we honor, we adore you, and we know that there'll be no distractions and no delays, that the word will go forth and it will not come back to you void. Again, we honor you, we love you, and we adore you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Kilding, Dr. Happy. I am excited and I am happy to have a good friend on tonight. Praise God. There's a lot I could say about him, but I'm sure he'll say a lot of that himself. But nevertheless, his name is Pastor Ricky. His name is Pastor Ricky Jennings. And so I'm so excited that God placed me in the path to meet him. By all means, he's a well-endowed pastor and friend, as I said. But he has been a source for me going through this process. And even though he didn't know all the details of all the things that I experienced over these past 2 years, he was there for me, and he spoke to me, and he sent me text messages, and he sent me encouraging words on how I need to get my butt to church. Amen. And he has the coolest little gadgets and gems to invite people to church and why it's important. And so, praise God, tonight we're going to talk about a human touch and how God uses us to touch people, to get them encouraged and to massage them to doing the things that they need to do. But before we go into and me introduce him fully, I want to just kind of give us a synopsis of where we are and where we've been over the past couple of weeks. And so last week I wanted to really focus on more than I did the week before, but last week it was where y'all at. And we came from the premise of the beginning. And when God came into the cool of the day looking for Adam and Eve to find out what they were and what they were doing, of course he knew. But it was just a matter that he called for Adam. He didn't call for them. And that's why I thought it was funny. Me and a girlfriend, we laugh, because it's when people won't own their stuff, they won't take responsibility of what they're doing, how it's easy for us to deflect and to put that stuff on other people. But God is calling us one by one, name by name, and we're going to have to give an account. And so when he comes, he's not going to say, killing family, step to the rear or step to the podium. It's going to be Leah. Did you do what I called you to do? Did you eat the fruit? Did you do the things that I told you to do? Did you stay away from the things that I called you to be separate from? And so if we don't give an account, we can't get to heaven and then say, well, Lord, I didn't know. Because he's making an opportunity for all of us to know. And that's why it flows into our lesson on today, why it's so important for us to understand that all of us have been given an assignment. All of us have a responsibility to do what God has given us gifts to do. And we have to do that by using the gifts that he gave us. He gave us a mind. He gave us a will. He gave us emotions. And he gave us the soft senses that we have to touch, to see, to taste, to smell. All those senses are used and necessary for us to use the discernment, to use our gifting, to use whatever it is that God has called us to. So sometimes God uses those that he loves, others, to help them, to activate them. I mean, there's so many things that he uses for us to touch. And so we need the human touch. And so when we get to the point where I don't need nobody, and that's when we are in error. When we don't communicate with people, we are in error. When we don't see that isolation is a problem. I mean, even with the past couple of years, with the quarantine, many of us have had to isolate. But praise God, those of us that were isolated with family members, it wasn't as hard as it was for those, I'm sure, that were alone. But praise God, again, we're in this time, we're in this dispensation where we have Internet, we have FaceTime, we have, I don't know if people use Skype no more, but nevertheless, you can see each other when you're communicating. There's so many different forms of communication. We have to stay in connection with people. And the reason why that is, and I believe it to be true, because the word starts out with John 13:34 and 35. A new commandment I give you is to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And I'm so excited about the book of John. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And of course, John 15 is my favorite chapter. But nevertheless, I'm going to have my friend come in and share a little bit about what he believes. And praise God, he is the pastor of Pine Tree Baptist Church. And so, Pine Tree Park. I always forget that word, Pine Tree Park Baptist Church. And it's in Riverdale for those of you that are here in Georgia. And I'm sure he'll invite you to come and give you some more insight on that. But one of the main things I would like to publicly say my gratitude and thanksgiving to him was I was feeling pretty low and feeling isolated. And I didn't tell anybody. I hadn't told many people that what I was going through, because I thought if I told people that they would look at me different. And so I didn't want people looking at me different, because, amen, I realized now God was dealing with pride. But nevertheless, I just said a couple things to him and how God blessed him. And I told him that everybody wants me to read the Job story. And I was like, Lord, I don't feel like I connect to Job. I need something that I can relate to, since everybody's telling me to relate to something. And the story I related to was Joseph. And I related to Joseph more so because at a point of time in that process of me healing, because we were quarantined, nobody could come, and I felt alone, and I felt by myself. And so I felt like Joseph. I felt like I was isolated, that this sickness, the cancer, and the strokes, and the heart attacks, and all the stuff that I went through over the past year and a half, that it was a form of a prison, and that every time I would get out, I'd have to go back in, and then people would promise that they would come and they would help, and then they didn't come. So I felt, and I related to the story of Joseph, and so I told him, my good old friend, Pastor, that I think I'm past all of that. I understand that Joseph was a good steward, and he didn't curse God. Like, you know, the story of Job, I knew I would never do that. And I knew I wouldn't be around folks that would tell me to curse him either. But nevertheless, I love the fact that Joseph was steadfast and firm in his belief that God would deliver him, because God had told him. And I believe God had given me my assignment years ago, and I knew I hadn't come to pass yet. So I related to Joseph. And so when I told him, I think I'm in the stage where I'm looking for my palace, I'm waiting to rule and waiting to do it. And he was like, no, you're not. And I was like, yeah, really? And he's like, no, you're not. He said, Lee, I know most of your stories, and most of your stories have always ended up with God delivering you. And so that's your story. That's your story to tell. That's your ministry. And I'm like, no, I want the palace. And he's like, Leo, you wouldn't keep it. You'd give it to the homeless, because you're a giver, and you give it away. You wouldn't keep none of it. You probably wouldn't even live in the palace. You would give it away, and you let people live there. That's just your nature. And so because of that, don't look at your challenges as a problem. Look at them as a testimony, because you know God has proven himself to you that he will deliver you. This is just an opportunity for you to add to your testimony to draw people closer to him. And in that moment, I didn't look at nothing else, because I think I had the heart attack after we had that conversation. And I never looked at nothing, and I still am getting better. And really not looking at the overall scheme of things, of feeling hurt or feeling wounded or feeling neglected or rejected. I see it as, this is an opportunity for God to use me. And I thank you for that, Pastor Ricky. And I had to say that to you, because I wanted to say that to you openly, that your ministry is effective. And if it didn't affect anybody, it has definitely affected me. And so I wanted to say that publicly, and I wanted you to hear that from my heart, because if it hadn't been for you and God laying that on your heart to tell me, I'd still been looking for something grand. And it doesn't have to be grand. It's just, I know that my assignment, and I'm going to have to be true to my assignment and do the word of God. And so you convinced me of that. So I thank you. So Pastor Ricky, are you ready to jump in and do what you do? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, of course. I sure am.
Amen. And so tell the audience who you are and where you passed it, because I messed it up. And then how God has really, you know, blessed you to be in ministry, and why you do what you do. And then we'll go into the question.
Well, as you stated, I'm Pastor Ricky Jennings of Pine Tree Park Baptist Church in Riverdale, 2855 Bracedo Road. So, you know, everybody that's listening, please feel free to stop by. And if you already come, thank you for tuning in. We have had here lately some growth at church, and that's because not anything that we're doing so great, but we had a fast, and we all asked God to increase our territory, and we have a huge increase of children, kids. One of the things, we don't know where they came from, but we are meeting the needs of our community. We are ministering to children and kids. I think Sunday before last, we had easily 60 kids. They were everywhere. So, and we had children's church on third Sunday. And so a lot of them come for that. And we have a Resurrection Day program that's being planned. And so we are definitely moving forward. We had, a couple of new members to join here lately. So God is doing what we asked him to do. And we're just so thankful as a ministry that God did choose us to minister to children, to try to look out for the community. And we got some other things planned, that we're going to move forward with. But, we got to get a few more people to participate. So, there are lots of people who go to these huge ministries that are not doing nothing. We got something for you to do. Come on through.
Amen. And I like that you have a lot going on at the church and that you're able to put people to work, because it kind of goes by what we're talking about on tonight, why it's so important for us to be involved. We can be involved inside the church as well as outside of the church, but God wants us to build up the church, and why he gave the new commandment for us to love one another. So we have to be mindful that that many times we may be looking for something different and how it comes when it is God. And so we have to respect that, because that little joke or saying or whatever it is where the man says, "Lord, I was waiting for you." And he said, "I sent all these people and you rejected them." And he said, "But I was waiting for you." And he said, "That was me." And so we have to be reminded that God uses us in place, because we're that human touch, that touch that God uses to minister to people. Go ahead.
I think that Bible verse that you gave, that we love one another, I think that sums up, our relationship, the relationship that God wants us to have with one another. Give you a new commandment that you love one another. That's the way the whole world know that you belong to me. And no matter what, we are to love one another. And we all know that love is an action word. You just can't say it. We have to also do it. And in doing that, I think we, many times when we hear it, we're in the mindset of loving each other when things are going good. But loving each other is also, when somebody's acting out of character, when somebody's not doing right, when you think that people are talking about you and all of that, we still supposed to love one another. That's a commandment. And we can't allow other people's behavior to dictate our behavior. We are to still be God's children no matter what.
I like that in my favorite chapter, John 15:9, that says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remained in love." So it's kind of like what you were saying, how we can't just say we love somebody. We have to show, like Jesus showed us, how he loves. So now, if you go down a couple of verses in there, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, and a man lay down his life for a friend." Why do you think less likely to to lay their life down because, you know, we're so busy, we do this and we do that. We forget about people, and we don't remember that it's our responsibility to reach out to people. Why do you think we've allowed so many distractions to take us away from understanding what God meant when he said that we are to basically lay our lives down for our friends?
I think that many times is because, I hate to say this, but it's many times it's our fault as Christians, as teachers, preachers, evangelists or whatever, that part of the gospel, a lot of time in today's world, is not being preached, and that's not being taught. And, you know, I hear all the time when I listen to many sermons, it's about, you know, hey, you can get this, get this, get this. You know, God going to do this for you. This is the season for God going to restore this in your life. He going to give you this, bless you with that. But we don't talk enough about how we are to treat one another. And so my biggest takeaway why we don't do it is because it's not stressed. We don't think about it because we're thinking about our next blessing, our next, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And we have to understand that we're not put here to just gain, gain, gain and get. That's not why we're put here. You know, we are supposed to be good stewards of what God gave us. And, you know, if God has blessed you with something, it's not just for you. It's for your fellow man. It's for your neighbor. Love that neighbor. You know, that's part of that touch. It's not just get for you. It's love thy neighbor. And that means that we have to be a good steward with whatever God has blessed us with. And the first thing we should be doing is first, when God bless us with something, give God his, and then look for somebody to bless. Look for somebody to bless. And when we start doing that, you know, our human condition, our human fortitude, all of that will increase. All of that will get better. But we have to, as leaders, we have to do a better job of teaching and reminding people. You know, that touch you're talking about, we are here for each other. We have to be here for each other, and we have to be reminded. Hey, you know, it's your job as a Christian. You got to love your brother. You got to love your sister. You got to love your neighbor. That's our job. That's that commandment from Jesus Christ that we must love. And so, again, I think that we have to, as leaders, stress that more.
Amen. I like that you said the word steward, because in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one has received special gifts, and we employ them by serving one another as good stewards of the manifold mm-hmm. grace of God. And so it is our responsibility to serve individually and collectively. Sometimes I run upon people and they don't really understand that they have gifts from God. And so how do you explain when people don't know what their gifts are? How do they, one, know that they have them, and then two, know that they're supposed to use them to serve God?
Well, one thing, a couple of things with that is, many times when people are confused about their gifts, they feel, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I have to give credit to our teacher, Dr. Isom. She used to tell us all the time, many times you're operating in your gift before somebody calls you to it. Before you get the official title, you're already operating in your gift. You know, why do people always come to you and want to talk? Why do people come to you if they got a problem? Do people come to you when they need a hug? Do people come to you when they're kind of down and out, and you're the one? You know, your name itself, Dr. Happy, you know. Mm. So, you know, before you were actually given a title, you were already operating in your gift. And so another thing, that you just look at your life. What do you do easy that other people think is hard? You know, there are many times that, you know, I used to read the Bible and get it. And people be like, well, I don't understand how you get that. And it's because that's my gifting. you know, that's one of my gifts. So when you look at that and say, well, what do I do? What comes easy to me that's hard for others? I know we can get into a whole bunch of spiritual this, that, and other, but sometimes it's really just that simple.
Hmm. And then the coolest thing is that Jeremiah 29:11 said that we all have gifts and, you know, to use to his glory. But my favorite, going back to John 15:7, says that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. And so he wants us to know that the gifts and the talents that he's given us so that we can use it to his glory. But the challenge is you know, sometimes getting people to use them and to use them properly. I know we often laugh about some of the people that are using them for evil purposes. And I tell people that God's gifts are without repentance. And so whether you use them for good or whether you use them for evil, you still have them. And that's the coolest thing to me, at least, about God, is that you were born before you were in your mother's womb. He knew what you were going to be and what you were going to do. But he gave us a choice to be able to use it for good or to use it for evil. So now when people use it for evil, because it always interests me how people often say, you know, God doesn't bless them. But he does. So how do you get someone that is not necessarily using their gifts for evil, they're just not using them at all? How do you explain to them that they're just as guilty on the other side as they are for not using them?
Well, it's not to be disruptive to the show, but it's my opinion that many times that God really doesn't bless them. I think many times is that when they're using their gifts for evil, and they have gain. And just because it's gain doesn't mean it comes from God. You know, the world got a way of, per se, blessing people, and it's not of God. There are a lot of people who are rich and got it from ill-gotten gain, per se. And we as Christians have to understand that we can't be measuring what a blessing is based on what the world does and how the world see a blessing. You know, many times, you know, when you say blessing, it's, okay, they got a lot of money. They got a house. They got a car. And we look at it as materialistic, you know. But when you're saying, hey, my child is sick and I don't have enough money for insurance, and yet and still they get well, you know, the world can't do that. Or, matter of fact, you just strung together a whole month of good days. You ain't been sick. Ain't nobody cuss you out. Ain't nobody pull up in front of you in traffic. That's a blessing. You know, so we have to sometimes redefine what we consider a blessing, what we look at as a blessing. And we know all good things come from God. And just because it is, you know, as the saying goes, all that glitter ain't gold. And so we need to be careful with that. But all in all, when you look at people and say, hey, you know, you look at the people who are doing not good things with their gift and it looks like they're doing good, I guarantee you at some point they got to look over their shoulder. They are guilty. They feel guilty. It's not right. They don't rest well. And all of that because they know that they're doing it wrong. When it comes from God, you sleep well at night. When it comes from God, you don't worry about anything. When it comes from God, you are at peace within. When it comes from God, you're not the only one smiling at your blessing because you are blessing others as you're being blessed. And so there are distinct differences when people are using their gifts for ill-gotten gain and when they're using their gifts to bless others and to do things of God.
I like that you said when we're measuring, that we can't do it like and see it like the world sees. Because what I was referring to was, you know, they're still breathing, they're still walking, so technically those are blessings. But I like the way you put that because I'm still doing that based on a worldview and not on a godly view. Because there are consequences when we don't do what God calls us and tells us to do. And so I can't look at that they're doing better than me or because they're still breathing, because they're still living. That's grace. And sometimes I think we get caught up with grace and blessing. God gives grace liberally to us all. But
right.
I'll stop saying that way. So I appreciate that. But now, when we go back to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, where it talks about love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong, that it delights, it does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. I think sometimes we all probably should post them somewhere so we can see them on a regular, because
yes.
I think we, you know, we say that we love people, we say people love us, but I like that you said earlier that love is an action word, and I think we forget that. And when you're trying to display godly love, and then, you know, I was reading and trying to research for the topic about how the human touch is so important that, you know, when you talk about a baby, they said that babies without a human touch, without a mother's touch, they kind of, they gain sicknesses and all these things kind of happen to them because they need that warmth. And then they said that
right, they don't even develop right.
Right. They even said
yeah.
that the mother has challenges too when she doesn't, because she had something growing in her, and then if she doesn't feel the embrace or the love, and that's why they say a lot of times God may have designed nursing for that purpose, because he knew that embrace, that touch would mold and transfer the love. And when that doesn't happen, even those that don't nurse still having that skin-to-skin contact makes a difference. And so I thought, well, I mean, surely that has to be mean something more when you're an adult. Of course, this article, it talked about why people get massages and why we hug and why we embrace each other, because we still need to be embraced. And that's why I thought it was cool that God gave this topic of a human touch, because it's not that we're saying that the human has any power, but because of the love of God, we transfer that love between each other. Because I know for me, just a smile sometimes is enough that, you know, I acknowledge that, you know, you're at least thinking of me, because you don't have to, or a text message or a call. And so I think that we should make it more of a not necessarily a duty, but we should remind ourselves throughout the week, pick a day. I know you said that you guys fasted, but I did most of that. And I can't say I was completely true to it, but I did most of it because it was in the intention. And I appreciate that because it kept me focused. But we should schedule days on the calendar personally. Just do that. Put days on the calendar that we're going to reach out to this group of our family members or this group of our friends and change it up. We'll text 1 month and then we'll do mail. And I know we were laughing and talking on Saturday about how kids don't even know how to communicate with each other because they're so busy texting, which texting is not necessarily a problem. But people need to learn how to communicate with their lips and use
yes.
their ears to hear versus, you know, just their eyes. We need to challenge ourselves to be better at expressing love to people. What do you feel about that?
Oh, I definitely 100% agree with you. I've been out and seen the young people, well, younger than me, you know, but sitting at a table at dinner, both of them at their phone, on their phones, head down in the phone, and not even communicating with each other. And you're on a date. And how are you supposed to get to know each other? And if both of your heads are in the phone, and therefore, now we are, as a society, getting to the point that we are messing up our social skills. We don't have social skills. You know, we don't know how to communicate. You know, I think you said something about an interview. You know, people go to interview, man, don't know how to communicate with the person who's interviewing them. But even on the spiritual level, we're a lot of times we're missing the boat with fellowship, and fellowship is a part of worship. And you know, with the online stuff, and I know it was necessary for the pandemic, but, you know, people still want to not come to church because you want to sit at home and watch church on your phone or computer or whatever. I understand with people who really can't get out, it's an awesome tool. But many of us are just being lazy. You go to Walmart, you go to Lowe's, you go to Home Depot, their parking lots are still full. But to me, it's important that we as Christians fellowship, we get to know each other personally. We get to shake hands. We get to hug each other. We get to, you know, touch each other. And like you said, that is so important. It's so much different being in fellowship in person with God, the Holy Spirit moving, and you around like-minded people. It's so much different than just watching it by yourself, you know, at home. It's the whole experience is so much better. And just like what you're saying, the importance of human touch, it is so, so important that we fellowship, that we communicate verbally. You know, it's a couple of members that, you know, our online members at Pine Tree. And it was like when we finally saw each other, it's like we've been knowing each other for years, you know. But that excitement and that fellowship of face-to-face is just it was an awesome feeling. You know, it would, you know, they can't come to church because of distance. But it's just an awesome feeling of being able to shake hands with that person, being able to give them a hug. Hey, I'm glad to see you. I'm happy to finally meet you face-to-face. And so, you know, I think all of us should desire that type of fellowship.
Well, it's the funniest thing that that kind of led into one of the things that I've always been interested in understanding. In 1 Corinthians 12, where it says, "For we are one body, and that body has many members, and we are all members of that one body, and being many, we are one body. Also is Christ." And so down further in the scriptures, it said, "Can the eye rule the body without the rest of the parts?" You know, and so, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to fathom that, you know, you're part of the toenail of the body of Christ. But, I mean, every part is significant. And when one hurts, we all hurt. And that goes back to, you know, using our gifts and talents to build up, you know, the body of Christ. But it's disturbing sometimes to me because I totally can see that, totally can understand it. And I guess that's because, you know, my passion is to love and to give and to share the word, you know. And so when I see people not caring about the next person, and it's you call yourself a Christian, and, you know, if they're hurting, we all should be hurting. How do we make that distinction that just because, you know, I'm going to keep my business to myself, and I'm going to do this on this side, and then the other person, you know, I'm going to do, how do we then operate as a body when everything's doing its own thing? And I know you love jokes. And so one of the things that I think my uncle told this story about, you know, the bottom, and how if it locks up, can't nobody be happy. And so, you know, most people don't look at the butt as being important, but it is, because everything has parts.
The butt is important.
It was very important. But I love how God gives us visuals and gives us understanding so that we can put things together. Because if you don't operate in your part, somebody else is going to suffer. And so when they suffer, if you don't have an understanding that, you know, this person is suffering because you haven't done your part, are we really in tune with the things of God?
You know, I think that a lot of people, you know, one discussion I've had with quite a few people is that sometimes we look at church and fellowship selfishly. Well, you know, I don't feel like I need it. I know this and I understand this and I don't need it. Well, you know, that's great. But have you ever thought that just somebody there might need you?
Hmm.
Why are you so selfish with you? Because there are many times that somebody may be sitting out in the audience that can't relate to me, but they can relate to you. And so, and many times we have people that are assigned to us. And when you're out of position, now that person is suffering because you decided to be lazy. You decided not to come. You decided not to fellowship. You decided, you know, I don't need to go because I done already heard 100 sermons. Yeah, so what? You have heard 100 sermons. But have you touched 100 people? You know, have you fellowshiped with 100 people? Have you done your due diligence? And I'm going to go back to as to be a good steward of what God has blessed you with. Because I, you know, as much as I may try, I can't relate to every single person. I may try, and God's word may touch them. But, you know, you and I have talked, and you came to the church, and you and Sister Ellen did a training on evangelism, which was awesome. And you guys, the way you taught and how you taught in the interaction touched people in a way that, you know, you taught lessons that some of us will never forget, you know, because how you teach, how you reach people, how you deal with stuff. And I couldn't have taught it that way. And you all put your own spin on the lesson that you all gave. And I think that is so important to understand that, you know, if you know everything, if you think, well, I'm good, me and God are good. Well, you need to help somebody else be good with God. You know, I'm a level 10 Christian. I'm a 10 out of 10 Christian. Well, you need to help some of us level 7s and level 5s get to your level.
Right.
You know, so we all, again, go back to what you were saying about people having gifts. You know, if you don't use your gift, you know, I hate to say this, you know, this way because we on your show, but some people are just a waste of skin. You know, what are you here for? You know, if you're here for just to get all you can get before you die, that's the wrong reason to even want to be here. You know, we have to take other people into account. We have to care for other people. There's more to life than just getting for yourself. You know, the joy and the, you know, inner peace or inner happiness that you get from knowing that, hey, I did this for somebody out of love, and they are so appreciative. You know, I've been there, and I'm telling you, it's a feeling with that's within that you cannot beat. And I want to say this too. It's maybe a little bit off subject. People who you are out there who are God's word. I don't know. This just came on my heart. You are out there who are trying to spread God's word, and it seems like it's not working. People aren't coming to church. People aren't getting saved, and you may be getting frustrated. Don't get frustrated. It's not your job. It is not your job to bring everybody to church. It's not your job to save everybody. It's not your job. We are instructed to sow, which means go out and tell. Have that human connection. We're to go sow. We're not to save everybody. But we need to be obedient to what God has told us to do. He said, go sow. Go out there and tell people about me. And remember, he even told the disciples, they don't want to listen, knock the dust off your feet and keep it moving. But do what God told you to do. I'm done. Sorry about that. I was a little bit off subject.
No, that was totally not our subject. It's totally what we've been talking about, because there are so many people that are in the body of Christ, that have all these gifts, have all this wisdom, have all of this even practical experiences that God has blessed them with and haven't told a soul, you know, or keeping it to themselves. And so if I could, you know, just kind of summarize some of the things that you said that I was blessed by, was one, we can't be selfish with ourselves. That was deep to me.
No.
How, you know, I'm holding all my gifts to myself, you know, and I use them as I see fit. I'm only
right.
Going to, you know, do this, I'm only going to do that. That's selfish, and that's pride. And then we have to remember that if God gave us these gifts, it wasn't for us to glorify in them anyway. It was to give him glory. So we have to do what is called for us to do, because then, as you said, we'll be a waste of skin. I love that. I mean, What were you born for? I mean, all the things, and since, you know, I've had all these challenges with my body and learning how different things operate, I am appreciative that God had to be an awesome, awesome, awesome designer to allow your body to heal itself. You have to make sure you eat right and you do right, and your body will heal itself. Well, it wouldn't know how to do that if something higher than us designed it. And so it is our responsibility to do what is necessary. And when you don't know, you are to research it and look it up. And then my nephew has said years ago that when you're ready to learn, God will provide the teacher. And so I'm so amazed how each step of the way that God is blessing different people to come into my life to help me. Okay, man, you probably shouldn't be eating those because they're counteracting the medicines that you're taking. And if you want to get off of those medicines, then you need to do this and you need to do that. And so I could selfishly say, I'm not giving up my Pepsis from nobody. But praise God, I realize that I have an assignment. And so saying that I'm just going to continue doing whatever I need to do for me is selfish because it takes me away from the assignment that I'm supposed to do. When I'm sick, I can't go nowhere. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. And so I have to say Saturday when I saw you, I saw all conviction. Oh, conviction. If I could go to a meeting, to a conference, I should be able to come to church. So so grateful that, I mean, that was God's timing. I mean, for you to come around the corner, and I was playing hooky from the meeting for a moment because, you know, it was just overwhelming. I stepped outside, and you walked by, and I'm like, oh, wow, praise God. But then, praise God, you weren't as harsh as you could have been, but you were kind. Yeah. And so, praise God, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your knowledge, and I appreciate your activation because a lot of times, you know, when people, I know they're not doing right or they're not doing things that they could be doing, then here comes the gavel and, you know, you pound, 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 pound. And that causes people to stray too, that we have to approach people with love. We have to approach people with compassion. I guess that's kind of the same, but it's a way to love. You can love kind of off from afar, but I like that you're in the present. And you're in the present when you share your compassion for people and wanting them to learn and to grow. And so now I know we both can talk, and we know we can talk about the Lord forever and ever and ever, but we're almost out of time. Never out of talk, but we are out of time. So can you give the listening audience, you know, I know you gave something a few moments ago what God laid on your heart, but just kind of to summarize the lesson of what you believe God wants us to do in this hour as it relates to us being involved, using our gifts and talents to really reach out and do what God has called us to do. What advice can you give those that are listening?
First and foremost, I think we first have to realize that God has blessed each and every one of us with gifts and talents. If God allowed you to be born, then God has a purpose for you. And it's just that simple. And understand that no gift that you have is too small. We have a lady that used to usher at our church, and we miss her. So somebody out there, you know, tell Peggy I gave her a shout out. Her name is Peggy Allen. And Peggy, every week when she's at the door, she greets everyone with a smile. Welcome to Pine Tree. And that's her gift, because I can't do that. You know, I ain't in the mood for that every week, you know, and I'm just not. But she was like a ball of sunshine when you first walked in the church, and everybody recognized that. It's like, yeah, we're going to see Peggy at the door, and she's going to be smiling and always in a good mood. And so, if you are usher, if you are a greeter, if you whatever you are, don't think it's too small. Don't think it goes unnoticed. You know, I happen to be a pastor, but you know, we need every gift that somebody has, because like you said about being one body, you know, one of the smallest things on a person's body is that pinky toe. And if you still on the side of the bed and you walk around the bed, you don't think it's important. You just think about all the stuff that you be saying that you can't say in church. So obviously that little toe is very important. For whatever reason, it is very important. And so we all have to understand our gifts. We have to understand that we are to use them. We have to understand that it's not just for us. And please understand that it is so important. It is so important that we each fellowship with one another. That fellowship part is so, so very important. You know, to be in the presence of fellow believers is so awesome. And so don't take it lightly. You know, don't think that, you know, if you don't come to church, don't nobody care, or if you don't come to whatever event or whatever thing that you are a part of, that people just write you off. No, we miss you. We need you. We desire to be in fellowship with you, you know. And so, you know, people, well, I can't find myself. Come to church, we'll help you find yourself. Come to a body of believers. We'll help you find yourself. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, I'll give you enough stuff to do until you find what you're supposed to be doing. You know, but try. Come out. You know, give it a try. Just come out. I often tell people when I invite them to church, come three times. Three times is very important. If you come the first time and you like it, it might be a fluke. So come on back again. And if that wasn't bad, and you know, the third one, you know, gonna make the difference. You know, if you come, you know, and you have a bad time, come back again. You know, if you know, the preacher may have been in a bad mood or something. Whatever the case may be, you know, the choir director may have stomped his toe or thumped the toe. You don't know what's going on, but give it three times. You know, give it three times, and let's be in fellowship with each other. Let's keep, you know. You know, as the subject, touching each other. And understand, too, touching is just not physical. You know, just like you were saying earlier about call people. Let them know that you miss them. Call people. Send them a email. Send them something to let them know that, hey, we miss you. We love you. You know, come back. You know, stay in communication. That's it.
Okay, Pastor, tell the audience again where they can see you each Sunday morning.
I am at Pine Tree Park Baptist Church, 2855 Bacedo Road in Riverdale. You can also see us online on my Facebook page, which is just simply Ricky Jennings. And we're going to be, even evolving from that, you know, with the church going to get its own Facebook page. We had our own Facebook page and we got locked out of it. So that's why it's on mine. And so, but, you know, we are moving forward. We got a website, but we're going to be moving forward and increasing and enhancing and, you know, making everything pop a little bit better. And so that is where I am. Hope to see you there, too.
God bless. Well, thanks. It's that time. Never out of talk, but out of time. So I thank you, Pastor Ricky, for being our special guest on tonight. I want to make sure that we call you welcome. Well, we close every broadcast with my granny's favorite song. He believes that every praise belongs to God, and it does. Now, those of you that, if by chance you want to listen to this again, all you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio and type in Omega Ministry Group, and then Dr. Leah, or no, maybe not be Dr., it may just be Leah, because I can't remember what they put in. I have all these titles. Amen. Just call me a child of God, but look up Leah Killings. I think that's how it's listed, but nevertheless, you can hear the broadcast again. But I pray that you have been encouraged, that you have been educated in some way, and that you have been empowered to make necessary changes. And then make sure you share them with somebody else. Love never fails, and we are part of this body, and it's our responsibility for each one of us to know that we are part of the body. I pray you have a wonderful week. Tune in again next week. Be blessed. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We'll see you next Monday.
Love y'all.
Worshipers! Where's all of my praises? we go.
Every praise.